If you'll open your Bibles, please, to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. It's an unusual chapter, and probably, you know, if we could categorize various chapters as to their value to us, perhaps Mark chapter 5 would be up toward the top in that, because it covers some very specific things that are helped to us. In the first part, in verses 1 through 20, the Lord Jesus is teaching at least two things that we can look at. The first thing is His absolute sovereignty, that is the sovereignty of God and the Lord Jesus over the forces of evil. They know who He is. Look at verse 7. And they cried with a loud voice, "What have we to do with Thee, Jesus, Thou Son of the Most High God?" They recognized the Lord Jesus Christ as God and recognized His sovereignty over them and that He had complete and final authority over them. Look at verse 12. And the devils besought Him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And so they knew that whatever the Lord Jesus Christ said, they would have to obey. And we ought to be thankful that in this day, for us, Jesus has the same authority over evil that He had and demonstrated in that day with those men there. And we praise God that He does. And the story itself, and we won't take time to go through it, but we know that He expelled the wicked demons from that man's life. And the scripture tells us that they found the man sitting and in his right mind. But then notice the second thing that we can learn from this passage, and that is how to witness what we have or what we can say in witness. I'm afraid too often. In fact, in Brazil, we had a missionary working with us, a young man that he had come for a while to work with us for a while, and I actually heard him say this: "You cannot dare witness to anyone until you have gone through the 13 discipleship lessons that I have written." He actually said that. But the Lord Jesus, to this man who had just been relieved from Satan's power, He says in verse 19, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and how He hath had compassion on thee." Two things that we can witness. Anyone can tell what great things the Lord Jesus has done if they have experienced the salvation of the Lord. And so that's what He wanted them to learn in that first part of this chapter. Now if we go to the second half of that chapter, from verses 22 to 24, and then again from 25 to 43, we are going to see a different emphasis. And the Lord Jesus emphasizes His sovereignty over our great enemy, who is death. Every one of us, if the Lord tarries, will one day die. But the Lord Jesus showed His power, His sovereign control over death when He raised Jairus' daughter. And we can know that He let it be known that He has a control over death. And we can praise God for that. Then the third thing, and this is what we want to emphasize tonight. In verses 25 through 34, we want to emphasize the sovereignty of the Lord Jesus over our daily needs and the needs that we have in our daily life. Let's look at that in Mark chapter 5, verse 26. We're going to look at the condition of the woman, first of all. 25, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and had nothing better, but rather grew worse. Let's just decipher that a little bit. She had tried everything she could think about. And there are people all over the world that are trying all kinds of things to find peace in their heart and to come to the place of knowing that they're going to heaven. Trying all kinds of things. Spent all that she had. She didn't have anything left. No hope at all. But she was not any better, but she was worse. And I'm hoping that you can see the parallel between that situation and the situation for people that have never been born again. She was desperate. And so the thing that she did, she went to the Lord Jesus. And notice what it says in verse 27. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. Now, that was not an idle touch. It was one of belief that she truly believed that her only hope was in the person of the Lord Jesus. And even to the point of touching his garment, believed that Jesus could help her. Now, if we read the context, we know that the crowd was pressing about him. And she had, without a doubt, had to worm her way through and perhaps push some people out of the way to get to the place where she could reach out and touch the garment of the Lord Jesus. She was determined in her faith. Now, understand, it was not just a casual touch, but it's a touch that believed that Jesus Christ was the only hope that she had. And she did that. And then notice what the conclusion of that was. In verse 29, she was healed, and straightway the fountain of the blood was dried up. As she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. But then also, her faith was recognized when the Lord Jesus said in verse 34, and he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. We just had sang complete in thee. And oh my, if you followed the words along, how that the Lord Jesus, in him we are complete. And this woman knew that she would be whole. And she received the peace that the Lord Jesus offers. No other place. And he called her daughter. He recognized her faith that she had in what he could do for her. And so, Jesus knows the people, knows everyone that is truly seeking him. Verse 30 says this, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And that's an interesting thing that he said that. And then notice, please, that the disciples said in verse 31, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? Can you get the picture? It's a throng of people. And the Lord Jesus is in the middle, and he's moving along, following Jairus to go to meet the need of the daughter. and people all around pressing against him. In fact, that word throng means to press together, press on all sides, so that who could distinguish who touched him? And yet the Lord Jesus knew who touched him in faith, believing that he was the answer to everything. And so he will meet the needs of those that have the faith that come to him to touch the Lord Jesus. Mark 6:50 says this, "And whatsoever he entereth into, he entering into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and brought him, besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole." Now understand, please, there are churches and people that believe that if I claim it before God, he has to give it to me. If I want something from God, all I got to do is claim it, and God has to give it to me. It has nothing to do with faith. It's saying, "Lord, you have to do this. I need this." That's not what that means. That's not. It doesn't mean that as many as touched him were made whole. They touched him in faith, and they came, and their need was met. So, what is the challenge for us? And you may have been able to detect by now that the message will be rather short. Well, unless I can think of some other things to say, but I'm already almost out of my outline here. What's the challenge for us? The Lord Jesus knows whether you throng him or touch him. And I'm afraid in every church, some more than others, there are a lot of people that throng the Lord Jesus, and not very many that really touch him, that really come to a place of, in faith, believing, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation. Oh, they know the words. They have perhaps been in the church for a long time, maybe born in the church or whatever. Most people, my opinion, you can do with it what you want. Most people, I believe, in churches today are thronging the Lord Jesus, not touching him. The crowd, the majority of the people, and we heard about the narrow way and the broad way this morning, and it is so true. The crowd throngs the Lord Jesus and is lost. Those people that just are thronging around him are lost and on their way to a Christless hell. So what does it mean to touch the Lord Jesus? What is this? What are the steps that we could perhaps delineate, at least in part, the steps that it takes to touch the Lord Jesus? Well, first of all, know the need. Now, that lady knew her need. It had been 12 years she'd been suffering with that plague. And that 12 years were years of suffering and despair and trying all kinds of things, spending all kinds of money to try to get the matter resolved. But she knew what her need was. And so the first step for anyone to touch the Lord Jesus is to know that there's a need. And of course, Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then we need to know that there's nothing we can do to help ourselves. Only the Lord Jesus. Titus 3:5 says this, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. It's by the Lord Jesus Christ that we can have any hope at all, and that we know that there's nothing we can do. And then we need to turn to the Lord Jesus in faith, believing that He will save. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other man, or salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. So we turn to the Lord Jesus, and not literally, but figuratively reach out and touch the garment of the Lord Jesus. And He knows when we do that in faith, that as He said in chapter 5, virtue goes out from Him. He saves us and gives us eternal life. Was there any evidence that woman was healed? Yes, there was. In fact, Scripture tells us that immediately she knew that she was healed. And she said that in verse 29, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. There was a change. There was something happened in her life. And we saw that this morning and heard as Brother Bud preached, that there is a change, folks. And once again, I'm afraid that too often people in churches all over the world think they can come to church on Sunday, do what they want to do the rest of the week, and without any reference at all to the Lord Jesus. But Scripture does say, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature or a new creation. Behold, all things are passed away. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so we can know that there needs to be a change because of touching the Lord Jesus. Now, I know that I've probably told you about Danielle before, but bear with me. I'll probably, next time I preach, I will probably give the same illustration again too. But Danielle came to the church one Sunday after I had met him during the week, and he sat about as close to me as where that offering plate is. He didn't have any choice. That's the only seat that was available. I sat there and listened to the message and came forward on the invitation. He didn't have to come very far, but he came on the invitation and received Christ as his Savior. And over the years, we've counted more than 50 people that came to the Lord Jesus Christ in his family, extended family, because of that decision that Danielle made. Now, why did he do that? Or why did that make a difference? Because when he went home, his wife, Lena, thought he was drunk because of the change and the blessing that was evident in his own life. And make a long story short, Lena accepted Christ as Savior as well. And those two reached out into their old extended family and saw them come to the Lord Jesus. And the other extreme different than this is Iada, a lady that was an artist in porcelain. And she came to me, or came one morning, and said, I need to find God. And I thought that perhaps I could help her with that. And so we talked, and she said, you mean all the good things that I've done? And they had spent some of their money to feed the poor and do good things to there was an island there in the middle of the Guaiba River that on that island the poorest of the poor lived, and they would go out there and take food to those people. And she would say, "You mean that doesn't make any difference to me? Any difference?" I said, "No, it doesn't. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done." And Iata accepted Christ as Savior as well, and went to her home, and her husband, Paulo, accepted Christ as well. We're so grateful for that. But there was a difference in their lives. Paulo and Iata began to attend church regularly. They become great help to us in the ministry there, and it was such a blessing. One other example, and I'm not sure I've told you this one, but I'm thankful for my mom and dad. When we were in Idaho just a few weeks ago, I had the occasion to go through a box of old photos that showed some things from the time past, and also in there some pictures of my mom and dad when they were just married, and and just saw all kinds of things. And I was so grateful for my mom and dad because they taught us the way of salvation through the Lord Jesus, and they modeled it before us. But like Bud's father, my dad smoked. And he was a railroader. He always wore bib overalls. So he kept his cigarettes up here in his bib. And the Lord got a hold of his heart. And the cigarettes were still there, but he didn't smoke anymore. And after 2 or 3 weeks, he said, "I don't need these anymore." And he took them out and threw them away. Folks, listen. If someone has truly touched the Lord Jesus, there's a difference. There's a change in our lives. And new desires. All that you heard even this morning, there are too many people that only throng the Lord Jesus and don't get serious about serving Him. Stay on the peripheral. And, maybe come every week, but let's not get involved. Oh, my. Oh, listen, folks. Don't just throng the Lord Jesus, but touch Him. And the Lord Jesus will bless us for that. Oh, what a blessing we can see in this lady, this chapter. What a great thing to see the sovereignty of God that He has over evil. There's absolutely nothing that can touch us apart from the permission of God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And so we can know that we can have victory in this day in difficult times. We can know that when the day comes, and we are laid in the grave, that is not the end. The Lord's already given victory over death and sin. And we can know that one day we'll hear the trump of God and the voice of the archangel, and we'll hear the shout. And I think I've told you before, I believe that shout is the Lord Jesus calling us each by name. And we'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and we'll go to be with Him. Oh my. We're complete in the Lord Jesus. And we can rest in Him and do all that we can do to serve Him. Give ourselves to do what He wants us to do. Thankful for the many ministries of Calvary Baptist Church and the many that do serve And many things are done for the Lord Jesus in secret. I know that. We need to give ourselves to the Lord Jesus to serve Him for whatever He wants us to do till He comes. Have you touched Him? Do you have absolute confidence if the Lord Jesus Christ were to call today that you would hear His name or your name and go to be with Him? If not, tonight would be a good day, a good time to deal with that. And we can help you with that. But if you know the Lord Jesus as personal Savior, perhaps you are just kind of coasting along when there are things that you can do. And as Brother Brosnan noted tonight, our missionary family is getting older. I know that McCandless, Brother McCandless out in Arizona, working with the Indians out there, desperately needs people to come and help. Others that I talked with Bill Kiefer yesterday, he said, and he just turned 70 just a couple of weeks ago or something like that. And he said, we need a young couple to come and work with us. We need someone that has two things. One, has the gift of ministry to lead. But then also, he needs to know how to follow, because he has to follow me for as long as I'm still alive. So the scope of his ministry is great. So young people, I'm not even going to talk to you young people. Adults. Sometimes I was 41 when God called me to go to the mission field. So I guess if you're older than that, you can just sit back and relax. But who knows? The Lord may have something in store for you. Throng Him, it's easy to do. To touch Him is the important thing. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your grace. Thank You, Father, for Your Word. Lord, a simple message to remind us of that dear lady that suffered for 12 years. And yet she knew that her only hope was in the Lord Jesus. And she did not let anything come between her and His person. Oh Lord, there may be someone tonight that at least have some doubts about their eternal destiny. There's nothing wrong with doubts, Lord, but I know that You would like to resolve them. So we pray that You'd be pleased to give anyone that have the doubts of their destiny to respond on the invitation and come and let someone help them. And Lord, we would pray for others to just get involved, just to give themselves to serve Thee in this place for Thy glory. With your head still bowed, please, and before I finish praying, if God has spoken to your heart about possible need of salvation, or even a doubt, can I pray for you specifically? You could raise your hand, let me know, anyone at all. Perhaps. perhaps there are some that need to say, well, I've kind of been just thronging the Lord Jesus, but now I need to touch Him. Not necessarily for salvation, but for service. And give myself to that. Anyone at all? Lord, we just pray that, Lord, You just work in our hearts. We'll be willing to say to Thee, O Lord, whatever You want, I will do. We praise Thee, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I guess the invitation tonight is if the Lord has spoken to your heart and you would like to talk to one of us, see Pastor Derek, Pastor Ben, or myself, we would love to help you to be sure that you're not just thronging the Lord Jesus, but in fact have touched Him for salvation and for service. I have Brother and Pastor Derek come and dismiss the service today.
All right, let's pray together. Father, we thank You for the opportunity we've had to gather as a church family and to direct our thoughts, our attention toward You and toward Your Word. It's been a blessing. We thank You that Your Word feeds us and strengthens us. It convicts us and helps to change and conform us to the image of Christ. And I pray that as we leave tonight, that we will be more dedicated to the work of Your Spirit, work of Your Word. We do pray for Pastor and Mrs. McLaughlin that You would please help them to feel better. We continue to pray for the Satterfield family that You would comfort and strengthen them. We pray for Melanie Gregory as she continues to recover as well, that You would strengthen her during this time, give her rest, and pray that her body would be restored soon. And Lord, we just thank You again for loving us. Thank You for our church. May we leave tonight with a hunger and thirst for righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.